nobody knew the backstory. He just believed. And when he got to see Joseph, his heart lit up. And guess what? His faith revived. And he said, bring me your sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And he blessed his children. He blessed them all, but he blessed them especially. And he changed his hands around because he saw some things that God by faith had revealed to him. And he believed it. What do you believe this morning? What do you believe? Do you really believe God is God, even when it's hard? He projected into the future. You know, we can project into the future what God's going to do. We believe there's going to be a one world government. We believe there's going to be a collapse in economies across the world so that the one world government can come into its own. We see it. We said it for decades. Ever since I've been saved, they've been saying it. And as I've watched it through the years, I've been watching it unfurl. I can see, because of what God has said, what's coming. And you know why? Or what that does to me? That gives me confidence. That gives me strong confidence. Because even though it's bad out there, I know who's writing the story. And I know the outcome. And I know where we're going. And I know that no matter what he does all things well. Aren't you glad? And so we're okay. We're going to be okay. He takes care of the sparrow. He'll take care of me. Doesn't he? He clothed the fields with lilies. And Solomon in all his glory didn't look like as beautiful as all that. He says he'll give you what you need. Just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All of this stuff is user-friendly reality. He's telling you what's true. And he says, don't let your heart be troubled. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to receive you. I'm going to come again. I'm going to receive you to myself. How neat is that? I love it when Stephen is being martyred, that he looks up and he sees the heavens parted and he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Not sitting where he sits. We saw him in Hebrews. He said he stood up in honor of him coming on in. He's coming to receive us. When you come down to the chilly waters of death, it'll be Jesus that you see, not some angel. I go to prepare a place. I will come. I'm expecting to see Jesus. And as bad as it may get, I just trust that he's going to be the one that takes me on in. Because that's what the Word says. The Bible says further about this. It says, Abraham accounted in verses 17 and 19. Jacob and Isaac, they blessed in verses 20 and 21. Joseph commanded concerning his bones in verse 22. He gave commandment. He says, I'm dying now. But God is going to take us all back to our land. Make sure you take my bones with you when you go. 420 years later. 420 years later, Joseph's bones are carried back. 420. You know, America's not been around for 200, a little over 200. 420 years later, he gave commandment. Why? Because he had faith. Why did he have faith? Because God said he was going to do something remarkable. In fact, he kind of, if he would have been reading along, and he probably was, he probably knew that the promise to Abraham was, for 400 years, you're going to be in a foreign land, and then I'm going to bring you back. He knew. Not only that, but you have him also, Moses' parents saw that Moses was a proper child. Some translations say beautiful, but the word isn't really beautiful. The word literally means austere. It means, it was like the baby's born, and they saw he was a proper child. And I'm trying to get my mind around what that meant. You know, he's a beautiful child, he's an austere, he's a handsome child. Well, the idea was they had to hide this child for 3 months. And what I think was happening was, there, and this is me projecting, hopefully with a sanctified imagination, what happened. They were supposed to kill the baby. Whenever a person, a guard or somebody came around checking out whether these people were throwing their babies into the river, I think Moses just got real quiet. Did you see that? That guard walked by, he quieted down. Guard got out of earshot, he woke up and he started crying again. I think what God was showing Manoah and his wife was that this child was special. Something going on with this child. And so what did they do? They hid the child for 3 months and they did not fear the king's command. When you see God working, it changes you. And they hid that child for 3 months, and then they put him on that little bulrush, and they put him down, and they drew him out, and gave him to Pharaoh's daughter. And the Bible says that they saw, and that's what they did in their decisiveness, they saw what they saw in Moses, and they made a decision to hide him. Not only that, but Moses made a choice in verses 24 through 27. These are all things that show the decisiveness of faith. He chose to rather suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a reason. And then the little word for comes into play in verse 26. It says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. The reason these guys did these things was because they believed God would reward them. The decisiveness had a payoff. Do you believe your fellowship with God will have a payoff? It will. The Bible says that not a cup of cold water will be given in His name, but that it will receive a reward. God will not even forget the least of the least thing. And as much as you've done in the least of these, you've done it unto me. So the decisiveness of faith is seen in verses 17 to 26, and all of those guys are rallied as marshaled as a picture. Why is he saying this? Because the Hebrews that are scattered are beginning to buckle at the knees. He says, you need to realize there is a dignity about your faith. There's a delight from God in your faith. There's a declaration of faith you need to maintain. There's a decisiveness of faith. You need to make up your mind and you need to lean in and you need to do the right thing on purpose by accounting and choosing and doing the right thing and seeing what God's doing and leaning in. You need to apply yourself. And then the discipline of faith is in verses 27 through 31, where he tells them that Moses came out and he came out of Egypt with his people and he went through the Red Sea as God told him to do. That was done exactly as God told him. Raise up your hand. He put blood on the doorpost so the firstborn wouldn't be killed in his. The discipline of his faith was he did exactly what God said to do, specifically. Put blood up here and blood up here. When the death angel passes by, he'll pass by you. Raise your rod. He said, raise my rod. I'm going to raise my rod. The Red Sea parts. He comes out, and the Bible tells us that he comes out in verses 27 through 31. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. And the little word for there is really kind of put in the juxtaposition for verses 27 through 31, because these all did the same thing. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. Just like he kept the Passover by the sprinkling of blood, that's the first one, lest the firstborn be destroyed, verse 29. By faith he passed through the Red Sea, raised the rod, which the Egyptians trying to do were drowned. And by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Why? Why does he mention this? How does he mention it is more important. It says, after they had walked around it 7 days. That's doing it in a very disciplined God way. God says you go around it once, you go back. You go around it once, 6 days. Once, go home. Go around it once, go home. Seventh day, go around it 7 times, blow the trumpets, the walls will fall down flat. It was a crazy plan. Didn't make a bit of sense on the surface, but God said do it. They did it, and God was found to be true. You and I are supposed to remember over and over again that we're to prove God. You are called upon to prove Him. Not tempt Him, but you're to put Him to the test. He says, prove me this day. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Prove me this day if I won't open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much that you cannot receive it. God tells us to test Him in that regard. He says, just believe me. He says, step on the water. You know, when they went to go into the promised land, God told them specifically how they were supposed to do it. They were supposed to go across the Jordan River, and the people of God were supposed to be way back here with the Levites out there and with the Ark of the Covenant out there. And as soon as their foot hit the water, not a minute before, but as soon as the first guy in the Levitical group was hitting the water split, and everybody's standing back. Wow! You see that? How exciting is it when God shows up? It's huge. When He saves a loved one you've been praying for, when He kind of meets your need in a way you didn't think could happen, when He makes the clouds part, when you've been a rascal and you've been away from Him, and you wake up one day with a song in your heart when you don't really deserve one, because you know you sinner, you messed up, and you've been on your little rampage, and God says, I love you. And my mercies are new every morning. Just come on back. Let me give you a hug. Let's get that thing cleaned up and let's walk on. That's proving God. So the discipline of faith is that the walls fell. Rahab lived after she had taken and had received those spies. What did they tell her? Specifically, they said, you make sure that all of your family's in your house and you put a red cord in the window. Anyone not inside this room with the cord in the window, all bets are off. But all the people in your family that are in your house with the red cord in the window will not be harmed. She did it. She believed, she received them and received the word from them, and she was able to live through the trauma of the falling of the walls of Jericho. And finally, the direction of faith is in verses 32 through 40. He says, time would fail me to talk about all these other people, Gideon and all these people. Yeah, it's a catalog of people, but each one of them is punctuating something. These guys left, they were stoned with stones in verse 37. Verse 36, they had cruel mockings and scourgings. Verse 38 says, they were people of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and in caves. Think Elijah. Elijah's in a cave. He's running for his life from Jezebel. And he says, God, I'm the only one. He felt left and done, but he said, God, I believe I've been jealous for you. And there may be times when you feel that way. And you just hang on. You endure. And the Bible says that all of these died. And it says in verse 39, all these, having obtained a good report, received not the promise. And then the little word for could be interjected in verse 40. For God, having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. For God had provided some better thing for us. The whole idea is God had a bigger plan. And anybody who has faith in God is okay with that. You know, I mean, sometimes it may not go our way. We may be the one that has to be afflicted or hurt or hit. Paul was bit by a serpent that should have killed him. He had to be bit before the people saw that he was God's man. They all stood around and said, well, certainly he's a wicked man. Justice would not let him escape. The serpent bit him. He's still throwing wood on the fire after this serpent had killed hundreds of people. They'd seen it every time. He didn't even break a sweat. He's still cooking some marshmallows and having s'mores. And after a while, they said, nothing's happening to him. Surely this man must be a man of God. But he had to be bit before they could see that. You see, you and I who understand God's got a bigger picture, that sometimes it's not about us. The Bible says he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Do not think that if he is willing to give his only Son, that he might not be willing to give you or yours. And that's a hard word, but the fact is our confidence has to be in God. Abraham was willing to put the knife in his own son, if that's what God wanted. See, faith is no child's play. Faith is real. It's a rescue mission down here. And every one of these guys who lived in dens and was run out of town and hated and stoned and mocked and scourged and laughed at, Noah for 120 years making that ark, only 8 people got on when the day came. You see, only 8. And you know that's family. You can tell. Dad, why we got to build this stupid ark, man? It's been 100 years. Got 20 more out there. Boy, am I embarrassed. Yeah, that's my dad. That's my dad. Yeah, my dad. Well, you know, I love him. I'm going to help him. And then sometimes, I believe, Noah must have waxed eloquent around the fire at night when they were all tired. He said, God, talk to me, man. And this old world's looking bleak. It's violent everywhere. You see it, guys. You guys go down to the city to get supplies, and there's men kissing men, and women with women, and little boys being carried along with a little strap around their neck as if they're some kind of slave, and it's all evil, and it's all wicked. That's what was going on. God said, it's waxed evil, and it's terrible. I'm going to whip it out. I'm going to wipe it out. Guys, it's getting that way again. And the first time it had to rain. Second time, the Bible says it's going to burn. And by faith, we know that. Faith is absolutely essential. It's a necessity. It is the foundation for everything you hope for. This world is not going to get better. You can't put the toothpaste back into the tube, and these people are not going to pull back their wickedness. It's only going to get worse. Your TV is going to get worse. Your movies are going to get worse. The people at school are going to get worse. Your kids' peers are going to get worse. And you people who are in the threshold of life for these children, you need to be praying. You need to show them Jesus. You need to let them know what you believe and how you declare it in your life. The book of Hebrews brings us the hall of faith, but really, the hall of faith is all about the essential nature of faith. It has to have a specific direction. And the direction that those people who died with in the end of this chapter, they died not having received the promises because God had prepared something better for us, that they wouldn't be made perfect without us. They were laying foundations. We get to reap the benefits. We reap the benefits of Gideon, who was scared to death. we get to reap the benefits of Jephthah, who gave his daughter to a perpetual virginity and never was able to marry. We get to reap the benefits of all of the things those people agonized over. And there is no excuse on our end. If we don't pick up the mantle down here and start living for Jesus now, what are we going to say to them? What are we going to say to them?